Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, 348, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 61. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy it shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. We hope to remember in prayer Deacon and Mrs. Chris Fossebelt and further family with the death of John Elliman this afternoon at the age of 72 years. Let us pray. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we and our children may still have a place on the earth, and in this evening hour, a place in thy house. Thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference. Where our brother deacon, the family circle, they received the tiding that a beloved one with a dreaded disease undergoing treatments, and yet so suddenly, yet unexpectedly, that he was taken away by the cold hand of death. Well, I remember the family circles amongst us. Well, I remember her who has now become a widow. Remember the children, the grandchildren, the whole family circle. We commend unto thee our brother elder, who hopes to travel to the Netherlands, and together with his wife, the funeral of a dear mother. Well, I remember the family circle amongst us. Remember the family circle in the Netherlands. Wilt thou so remember all the mourning ones amongst us? And wilt thou impress it upon all of our hearts, young and old, what is written in thy holy word, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment? And that is an appointment that we cannot miss. Also in the midst of the congregation, then there is a next one on the top that shall be ushered out of this time into eternity. How necessary the prayer of Moses. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, O Lord. Thou knowest that by nature, that we live here below, as if this is our eternity, our abiding city, but it shall not be, and to that end, well, thou prepare us, thou granteth unto us and our children that precious day of grace. May we be given to redeem the time, and to that end, the necessity of the loving and the powerful work of thy Holy Spirit. Well, thou bless what was read and heard in this morning hour, and bless thy word in this evening hour, where we hope to hear of that precious Savior, prophet, priest, and king, who was come to save his people. He was anointed to that end. And then we have read such a rich portion. Oh, all of thy word is rich. We have read of him that was anointed, and he was given such a great and precious work. Then there is a people described, their hearts declared. Then also this chapter that is included or excluded. Oh Lord, when we are still excluded, may it be by thy grace that in this evening hour, that young and old may be wrought upon, to become what we are. We have heard of a poor, of a needy, of a broken-hearted, of a people in prison. Ah, those mourners. But then we have heard of the rich blessings which thy dear Son has merited for them. Then we have heard of the further leadings to be clothed with the robe of righteousness. Ah, Lord, bless, O thy word, that the converted may be unconverted. Spare that we build not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou remember thy children, that that threefold office of thy dear Son becomes ever more necessary and ever more precious. Bless the means of grace in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Bless thy word in the family circles. Bless thy word in the Christian school. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth unto thee. Wilt thou remember the established churches? Remember the persecuted church. Wilt thou remember the Jewish people? Wilt thou remember all mission work, also our mission field? May thy word be richly blessed. Remember our nation, the leaders, federally, provincially, the cities, our town, O Lord. The sins of this nation are great, but the world conformity of the church, that is also great. Wilt thou grant unto thy church to repent? Oh, richly pour out thy Holy Spirit upon young and old. We commend unto thee all our elderly ones in the Bethesda, those that are weak, that are infirm. We commend them unto thee for their bodies, and so long that it may please thee, because the old must die above all. Remember their souls, save their souls. Remember those that may care for them. O work mightily and lovingly by thy Holy Spirit. We commend unto thee all the weak, the sick, and the afflicted, continual pain, weariness of the body, concerns, fears, discouragements, our Lord. Well, thou uphold them, remember them, grant them a special place at thy footstool, where healing and strengthening is needed. Wilt thou graciously grant it, and that above all the trials, the afflictions, that they may be sanctified. Wilt thou remember sick family members? Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones, the crosses and the burdens? Remember and bless the family circles. Wilt thou continue to provide for our daily bread? And then we remember the many suffering upon the face of the earth, those that had nothing to eat today, those that are starving. Remember the country at war, the country where thou wast sent a powerful earthquake with all the distress and with all the mourning. Remember where there is civil war. Remember all in prison. Wilt thou remember the great multitudes that have not free access to the means of grace, but also the great multitudes that have no desire to go up to thy house and to place themselves under the authority of thy eternal testimony, our Lord. May we be given to often pause, consider all of our blessings, at times to be given to count them one by one, and may it then be the goodness of the Lord that bring us closer to thy word, and oftentimes at thy footstool. Lord, wilt thou remember and help in this evening hour, where the holy apostle Paul has even written to the church that it is possible to preach to others and yet be a castaway. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers, and that in this evening hour, that thy word may be richly used, that it may be abundantly blessed. Leave us not unmoved and not untouched under the proclamation of such a rich gospel, and who was able to declare the riches thereof. The bride have said that thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore to the virgins love thee. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance, those that are lawfully hindered? Wilt thou grant them a blessing in their dwellings, and forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 243, the first five stanzas. In vision to us saints God spake, from out a people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. And what follows, Psalter 243, the first five stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 12, the question and answers 31 and 32. Question 31, why is he called Christ that is anointed? Answer, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continually intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he hath purchased for us. Question 32, but why art thou called a Christian? Answer, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. A Lord's Day 12 speaks of Christ, the official name of the Mediator, with two thoughts. In the first place, the riches of the threefold office of Christ, and secondly, the manifestation of the threefold office of the Christian. Christ, the official name of the Mediator. The riches of the threefold office of Christ, as we find it in number 31. And secondly, the manifestation of the threefold office of the Christian, as we find it in number 32. Beloved congregation, the last Lord's Day, then we have heard of the personal name of Jesus. And boys and girls, can you remember what that name means? That means Savior, to be saved from the greatest evil, and that is sin, and to be brought to the supreme good, and that is the communion with the Lord. In this evening hour, then we are called to consider the official name of the Mediator, and that is Christ, to make it clear for our boys and girls. When we think of Aaron, who was high priest, then Aaron, that was his personal name, given to him by his parents. And then high priest, that was his official name, that points to what he was called to do in the tabernacle. Oh, we could mention David. That is his personal name, received from his parents. But then there was a time that he has become king, that he was called King David. And the king, that is his official name. With the personal name of the mediator, then we have heard of that precious work of saving a sinner. But now with the official name, then it is more broadly declared how that the mediator saves his church. Why is he called Christ that is anointed? Christ is Greek. The Hebrew name is the Messiah. We read in John 1 that Andrew has sought out his brother Peter, and he has declared, "We have found the Messiah." In John 4 of the Samaritan woman, then she has said, "When the Messiah shall come, he will tell us all things." Peter has made that precious confession in Matthew 16, the verses 16 through 18, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then concerning that anointing, then it consists of two matters. In the first place, that the mediator was appointed, and in the second place, that he was qualified. When David was anointed with the horn of oil, then he was separated, that he would become king. But then we also read of the Spirit that has come upon him, to receive the necessary gifts. Now concerning the appointment of the mediator, that was from the never begun eternity, and that concerns both his divine and his human nature. But he was qualified here in the time by the Holy Spirit, and that only concerned his human nature, because we can all understand that his divine nature, that it needs no qualification, where there is an infinite perfection. And now Christ, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, typified in the Old Testament by oil. Think of the candlestick. Think of the vision in Zechariah 4 of those olive trees with those golden pipes, that golden oil that is run into the candlesticks. And now Christ, he was anointed without measure. Then we have read out of Isaiah 61, many times called the evangelist of the Old Testament, and there it is so clearly declared, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." There we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, "because the Lord hath anointed me." And now Christ, he was anointed with holiness, wisdom, and power, and that without measure. And he was anointed to a threefold office. And those three offices, they are prophet, a priest, and king. And the Lord has a people upon the earth for whom those offices become ever more necessary and ever more precious. and for whom they become precious. That is also written in this chapter, young and old. When we have read this chapter together, has your name been included? Because that people that is described, their longings and their exercises, because then we read to preach good tidings unto the meek, send me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and then further to comfort all that mourn in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion the spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Thus then that people is described, young and old. Are you included in that number? Have you learned by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to mourn over your sins for that separation and for that missing? Then it is the work of the Spirit to make room in those hearts for that precious mediator in his threefold office. And then those three offices anointed with the Holy Ghost. And then first to be our chief prophet and teacher has been prophesied thereof. Isaiah 9 verse 6. That his name shall be called Wonderful. That it shall be called Counselor. And now Christ as prophet, then he teaches his church externally by his word and internally by his spirit. And he teaches so wisely and so gently. And now it is the work of the spirit that works that good work in the heart of a sinner. That it all becomes reality in our life. And then concerning that prophetical office of Christ, oh, it is true. Then in his ministry, when he has dwelt upon the earth, he has also prophesied of future events, confirmed them by miracles. But then our instructors, they are laying the stress. Oh, first, then we read to be our chief prophet and teacher, and then the king of the church, and then he uses means, office bearers, fathers and mothers and teachers. But Christ, he is the chief prophet and teacher, and blessed that people that may be enrolled in that school, taught by the Holy Spirit, taught out of the Word of God. And to that end, the instructors, they have laid the stress, who was fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Thus then Christ, as prophet, by word and spirit, and then he teaches his people the way of redemption. Those broken-hearted ones, those mourners, those sires, those that are troubled with their sins, those that do not know it anymore. It is a privileged congregation when we do not know it anymore, when we may receive a place at the feet of the great prophet and be taught concerning the wonderful things of the Lord, how it is possible for a sinner, a black and a vile sinner, that have experienced that they cannot save themselves, how it is possible to be saved. It speaks of the secret counsel. Do we not read in Psalm 25, verse 14, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Oh, blessed Marys that may sit at the feet of the great prophet, and that may be taught concerning the things of the Lord, a close place at his footstool, young and old, who was our teacher. What is our authority? Is it the way of thinking of the world? And with all the declension from God's word, when we are bombarded by thoughts of the world so contrary to God's word, and then the necessity for us and our children that we gather with our family circles around this word, that we are given to instruct, that we are given to speak concerning the truth of God's holy word, the way that the Lord holds with a sinner, that he may be saved. And now, with that prophetical office of Christ, by word and by spirit, then he makes room for that priestly office. And now concerning that priestly office, then it is worded different. Then the instructors have not said, and to be our chief high priest, but they have laid the stress on only high priest, because he is the high priest that has been ordained from the Father to save his church. And now concerning in these passion weeks that we are called to meditate upon the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, when those disciples, when they have entered into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, then they have cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then for those disciples, they have tasted of the good things of the Lord. But now it is so necessary for the true child of God to be led into Jerusalem and led out of Jerusalem, outside of the camp, to be brought at the foot of the cross. And that is what the priestly office speaks of. And then concerning our only high priest, and then we do well to examine ourselves, because in this answer, six times, it speaks of us, and that is the living child wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. Are we included in that us congregation? That is the crucial point. Are we included in that us? Has that ever become our concern? Have we learned what it is to stand outside? Have we learned what it is to be lost? Have we learned what it is to become the sinner, a great sinner that cannot save himself? Six times the word us, that is that people that is spoken of in Isaiah 61. And in that chapter, there's also spoken of the further leadings of the Spirit to be clothed with that robe of righteousness. And now concerning the high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us. Thus the instructors are first given to speak. Our children know it, that in the Old Testament church, the ceremonial laws, that the sacrifices were daily brought, special times, extras, sacrifices, the special feasts, and that everything in the tabernacle, the priesthood, it all pointed to the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a clear example, the feast of the Passover, that Passover lamb that was slain, the blood applied to the post of the door of the dwellings of the Israelites. Thus first that sacrifice, the blood of Christ, I read in 1 John 5 verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ, that it cleanses from all sins. And that sacrifice that has been fully made, the veil of the temple was rent, the ceremonial laws have come to an end, and there is declared for us and our children a way to be delivered from all of our sins, but young and old, it needs to be applied. Do we many times think, under such a precious gospel, free and sovereign grace, such a rich Savior that has paid the price, and then to have to go lost? How awful, how terrible that shall be. Oh, young and old, use the means of grace diligently. Christ is commanded to repent and believe. May we come often on our knees. Because I read in Matthew 16 verse 26, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Shall not be possible to gain all the county of Lethbridge. But even if it was possible, at our death, tell me, and not to despise the temporal blessings, we need to live. We must be diligent. But young and old, at the end, one thing necessary. Exodus 12 verse 26. Then there was not asked in the first place whether in that dwelling there was an Egyptian or an Israelite. A great blessing to be an Israelite. Then it was not asked whether that dweller was very rich or very poor. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Concerning the high priestly office of Christ, and makes continually intercession with the Father for us. We read in John 17 verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me, through thy word. We have the beautiful example of the high priest with that breastplate. 12 tribes of Israel under stones on that breastplate. Thus, when the high priest was officiating, then he carried those tribes on his heart and also 2 stones on his shoulder, 6 tribes written on each. A beautiful type of Christ at the right hand of the Father, who continually makes intercession for his church, also for those, as we read in John 17, for all his church, also that church that shall still be gathered. Then it was also the calling of the high priest to bless his people. We read of Christ when he ascended into heaven that he has raised his hands and blessed the disciples, and so he has ascended into heaven. 6 times written for us. Has he also become our high priest? Has he become necessary? Have we learned to mourn? Have we become the sinner? Do we know what it is to be brokenhearted? Do we know something of that spirit of heaviness? Have we now received that true saving faith? The gospel opened, declared that precious Christ, and received the arms of faith to embrace what is declared and revealed. That is the crucial point. Thirdly, those boys and girls, then you can remember this evening that Christ had 3 offices. He was prophet to teach, priest to sacrifice, to pray, and to bless, but that he was also king. As the instructors have stated, and also to be our eternal king. Thus by renewal, a different word. First chief prophet, only high priest, and to be our eternal king. It's also a solemn word. Eternal, that king reigns forever. He is king of his church. And for the true child of God to be taken up into heaven with that eternal king, that king shall come on the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. The enemy shall be slain. They shall be cast into hell. But that church that shall be taken into glory, and also to be our eternal king who governs us by his word and spirit. A great privilege to be under the external administration of the covenant, where the Lord has especially promised to gather his church to be in those tents under the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. But I read in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5, that it was not all Israel, and that with many of them the Lord was not pleased. Has that become our concern, boys and girls, young people, older ones? Because we need, by the grace of God, to belong to that true Israel, wrought upon by the Spirit in clear marks, that that church, that they learn to know Christ as their prophet, their priest, but to need him as their king. Here below it is the militant church, that triple-headed enemy, our flesh, Satan, and the world. They are weak. They are frail. They have no strength. The true child of God shall have much to do with the devil, more so those that are used as robbers of hell. And then how necessary, oh, how precious, that he is his King, Lord of lords, King of kings. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, he is called the mighty God and the King. He is promised. He has defeated Satan on the cross, and he has promised that he shall care, provide, protect, and watch over his true church. And to that end, the instructors have added, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. Do you hear it, congregation? All the instructors to arouse to a holy jealousy and the enjoyment of that salvation, that is that holy joy that the Lord gives to his people, that he gives to those mourners, those broken-hearted ones, those that know what it is to be in prison, impossible to come out, but in the enjoyment of that salvation, and also enjoyment in seeking for that salvation. Because even those mourners, Christ has said it in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, blessed are they that mourn. There's already such an enjoyment in sitting at his feet before the prophet to learn what we miss, what we need. What an enjoyment when the gospel may be opened and when the child of God may be given to believe that Christ is their King as a fruit of the priestly office of Christ. Because the instructors have added, he is purchased for us. We read in 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and 19, not gold and silver, but by the precious blood of Christ for us. Has he become our King? She'll first ask, do we desire him as King? Do we love his word, his laws, his day, his house, marks of the church. They are clearly declared in God's word. Do we love that king? Do we obey him? Is it our rejoicing when the king may be honored? Is it our desire that that kingdom, that it may be expanded? Does that give us a holy joy when it may be heard that sons and daughters are born in Zion? Let us first sing. Psalter 367, the stanzas 4 and 5. Thou, the Lord, hast chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever. Here thou sayest, I choose to dwell. And what follows, Psalter 367, the stanzas 4 and 5. Christ, the official name of the mediator, the riches of the threefold office of Christ, and now secondly, the manifestation of the threefold office of the Christian. When the Lord has created Adam and Eve, and then they were prophet, priest, and king, created in the image of God. But through our deep fallen Adam, we have lost those three offices, and we have become a false prophet, a selfish priest, and a proud king. Do we have trouble therewith? But now through the mediatorial work of Christ Jesus, then in beginning those offices are restored. And to that end, in question 32, but why art thou called a Christian? That is a very personal question to everyone in this evening hour. When we speak of the word Christian, we first read thereof in Acts 11, verse 26, that the church were first called Christians in Antioch. King Agrippa, upon the preaching of Paul, then he has exclaimed in Acts 26, verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And in the epistle of Peter, there is spoken to suffer as a Christian. When we use that word Christian, then we may speak of a Christian with a small c, being under the external administration of the covenant, and young and old, as a Christian, even with a small c, that we give not reason that the king is blasphemed and his church. But in this Lord's day, then it speaks of a Christian, if we may say it so, with a capital C. And that are those who by the grace of God have become a child of the King, taught by the prophet concerning that threefold office. But why art thou called a Christian? Do we have to say in this evening, but Lord, I am not a true Christian. Maybe my heart completely in the world. Maybe. Hope not. Even becoming very bold, forsaking the truth can be that there are even a few young people that have it in their mind, when I am a little older, then I am finished with everything. Oh, my dear youth, may you be given to consider. Oh, bow then your knees and ask the Lord that he may keep you. Oh, that he may convert you. Then your thought shall become so different. Then it shall become such a wonder that the Lord has not left you go, young and old. We need to become a living Christian. Because I am a member of Christ by faith. That's the true saving faith. Christ has merited that faith for his church. The Holy Spirit grants it in the moment of regeneration and each time in its exercise. Because I am a member of Christ by faith and thus am partaker of his anointing. When the high priest Aaron was anointed, then that oil that has flowed down his garments. And so the Christian becomes partaker of Christ's anointing and the bride, the same as in natural life. When a bride is married, then she takes upon herself the name of her husband. And so the spiritual bride receives that name Christian. And then we have also that threefold office also declared in Isaiah 61. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. It's the kingship. And then in verse 6, and ye shall be named the priest of the Lord, that is the priestly office, and men shall call you the ministers of our God, that is the prophetical office. And then the instructors have said that so I may confess his name. In Matthew 7, then the church is called the salt and the light. Then they are given to confess, but also by their walk. Acts 4 verse 13, when Peter and John, after the lame man was healed, when they were called to give an account and given to say none other name under heaven, whereby we must be saved, then they perceived that they had been with Jesus. And then further, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. Then the instructors are given to stress that our sacrifices, they have no merit concerning justification to be acquitted of our guilt, but that in the way of thankfulness for such a wonderful and great deliverance, and that for a sinner as I am, when the church may be led into the mystery of the great dowry that Christ has paid for his church, and then they become a willing people, a living sacrifice in the Old Testament. Then the Israelites were never allowed to bring a dead animal, a crippled animal, an animal with blemish. It had to be a living animal without blemish. And then the church Christ has exhorted, because concerning those three offices, then the child of God, when there is that close and that tender life, then how ashamed they are. And what a confession, Lord. Am I now really a prophet? They need to be instructed themselves. They are so ignorant. Many times they are silent when they should speak. And concerning that sacrificing, then also ashamed, but Christ has exhorted in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me. Let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross, and come after me. Then they are also priests. By the Spirit they are given to intercede. Moses, in Exodus 32 on the mount, after they have made the golden calf, and in Exodus 33, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, oh, that precious prayer, in Jeremiah 14, the verses 7 through 9, Daniel in captivity, where he was given to include himself, where he was given to confess transgression and ask for the Lord's forgiveness, and then further, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, using the weapons which Christ has merited for his church, daily begging for the Spirit, for strength, and for courage, and that heavy warfare, and the warfare as shall only become greater as we come closer to the end of the earth. And afterwards, reign with him eternally over all creatures. All is written, thanks be unto Jesus Christ, who giveth us the victory. How is it, congregation? Have we now, by the grace of God, by true saving faith, may we have a little beginning? And if it is true, do you know where question and answer 32 brings us? That brings us back to number 31. That concerning those three offices, that we need him continually, that precious Lord Jesus Christ, as prophet, a priest, and king. We read in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The official name of the mediator Christ, may I ask you, young and old, 'tis a separating question. The question which Christ has asked, Matthew 22, verse 42, what think ye of Christ? Has he become necessary? Has he become suitable? Has he become precious? When the Lord grants it, then this Wednesday, we hope to come together within the walls of God's house. When we stand on the threshold of another season, then how fitting to come to the Lord's courts and to try to humbly beg the Lord what we stand in need of. The Lord, a grand, a little impression, how dependent that we are upon the Lord for everything. The Lord has exhorted, open wide thy mouth, and I will fill it. May it be, we have never learned it, may we learn it, also for such a day of separation, the days of old, many times called a day of humiliation and a day of repentance. On such a day, to need that precious mediator as our prophet, our priest, and our king, the Lord bind us together at the throne of grace, and the Lord grant that it may be a prayer day indeed. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, for thy help, who was able to declare the riches of that precious name of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. We may stand at the beginning of another week. We humbly ask thee, well, to watch over us in the home, at work, on the way, and at school. Well, thou keep us from harm and danger. Keep us from sin and temptation. Oh, do take us under thy kind care and under thy protection. Lord, a day has been set aside, the middle of this week, a prayer day. We humbly ask thee, may it be a prayer day indeed to that end. Grant a spirit of prayer and of supplication. May we be given to truly feel all our needs, but also with an eye upon thee. And thou hast exhorted to call upon thee in all our ways. Lord, bring us now safely to our dwellings. Keep us over the slippery roads. Grant some rest in this night. And may we be given to examine our hearts, whether we have been included or excluded in this evening hour, ah, Lord, for the unconverted. May it become such an unbearable burden, then they shall begin to mourn where thou hast begun. Grant further instruction as prophet and impress upon the heart no rest till a saving knowledge of the priestly office. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins in speaking and listening? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 420, the third stanza, sing praise, thou chosen Israel, who with the folds of sheep does dwell. Thou art God's joy and treasure. And what follows, Psalter 420, should be the third stanza. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.